ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 10, Text 11. Tesham. Read the verse directly. Tesham evanukampartham. Tesham evanukampartham. Aham ajnanajam tamaha. Aham ajnanajam tamaha. Nashamya atma bhasvastho. Nashamya atma bhavastho. Jnana dipe nabhasvata. Nadipe nabhasvata. Tesham, for them, eva, certainly, anukampartham, to show special mercy, aham, I, ajnanajam, due to ignorance, tamaha, darkness, nashyami, dispel, atmabhava, within their hearts, istha, situated, jnana, of knowledge, dipena, with the lamp, bhasvata, glowing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: to show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Purport: when Lord Chaitanya was in Banaras, promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda Saraswati, a very influential and learned scholar in Benares at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, that is not the fact. There are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is held by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. The modern philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education or even without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still held by the Supreme Lord, as stated in this verse. The Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Truth. The Supreme Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by speculating. For Supreme Truth is so great that it is not possible to understand Him or to achieve Him simply by making a mental effort. Man can go on speculating for several millions of years, and if he is not devoted, if he is not a lover of Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth, Krishna, pleased And by his inconceivable energy, he can reveal himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Due to the contamination of material association through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service, and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by his loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors.
Om Agyanath Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Thapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam.
So I beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas before I attempt to speak anything on this very, very confidential subject matter. So today is Deepavali. And here the Lord himself is saying how he lights the diya, the lamps, in the heart of a devotee. That to show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge. The darkness born of ignorance is thus destroyed. Destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So, very beautifully, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that how, when Lord Chaitanya was propagating the holy names of the Lord, the congregational chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So at that time, Prakashananda Saraswati, he thought Lord Chaitanya to be a sentimentalist. And he was criticizing him. He was thinking that this is just some cheap sentimentalism. This is not the way of attaining the supreme absolute truth. And he was constantly criticizing, and listening to that, there was one Maharashtrian Brahman. He was very soft-hearted and he was very much pained because he was very close to Lord Chaitanya. So he would time and again approach Lord Chaitanya and he would say that, you are the supreme absolute truth, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, and here you are preaching the ultimate absolute truth, but these offenders, they are criticizing you so severely day and night, so why don't you do something to deliver them and remove their misconceptions? So here, Lord Chaitanya is not so eager to defeat Prakashananda Saraswati and his followers. That is not the intention. His intention is to light the lamp of knowledge in the heart of Prakashananda Saraswati. And by the request of this Maharashtrian Brahman, time and again, Lord Chaitanya agrees. He says, okay, I'll go. And he also communicates to the Mayavadis, the Prakashananda Saraswati and his 60,000 disciples. And finally, there is a meeting where they are going to sort of, they are planning to chastise Lord Chaitanya why he is doing this. So, Lord Chaitanya comes and he sits at the place where everybody washes their feet. And Prakashananda Saraswati and his leaders, they are sitting on the big raised platform. So he at once becomes very, very obliged. Oh, how come you are sitting there? And immediately he gets up from his seat, comes to Lord Chaitanya and gives his hand and tells Lord Chaitanya to get up and come to the same platform where they are sitting. And Lord Chaitanya very humbly agrees, okay. And then he comes and sits with Prakashananda Saraswati. And then Prakashananda Saraswati says that you are a sannyasi. You are initiated in the line of Bharati Sampradaya by Keshav Bharati. You are supposed to study and discuss Vedanta. But instead of doing that, you are just engaged in the sentimental chanting of holy names of the Lord, just chanting Hare Krishna and dancing on the street, and you are having some chief followers and you are thinking that you are perfecting your life. What's this? This is not the way. You are just wasting your time. And when Lord Chaitanya hears this, he very patiently gives his ear. No problem, no challenge. He does not feel any way threatened that there are so many 60,000 and they are challenging and he is alone. Nothing like that. And when he hears very patiently everything what Prakashananda Saraswati had to say, he very humbly says that my guru says me that I am a fool. I cannot understand the Vedantas. And he said that for you, this is sufficient. Just chant the holy names of the Lord. And then he goes on describing that how the essence of all the Vedanta Sutras is the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, and how one should take shelter of the Lord, and how Lord is a person, he is not an impersonal Brahman effulgence. And so systematically he describes, and then he goes on describing that how even the liberated persons are attracted towards the form of the Lord. And Prakashananda Saraswati, his all misconceptions are gone. And in this way, he accepts what Lord Chaitanya says. He himself becomes a Vaishnav. And following Prakashananda Saraswati, all his 60,000 followers, they also become the followers of Lord Chaitanya. And in this way, the whole town of Varanasi starts singing the glories of Lord Chaitanya and starts singing the glories of the holy names of the Lord. And they again all start chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, here we see that whatever Prakashananda Saraswati was thinking was not right. He thought that one has to do his mental and intellectual gymnastics to know that supreme absolute truth. But here Lord is saying that it is not a matter of mental or intellectual gymnastic. It is a matter of revelation. That's why the scriptures are not just called scriptures or shastras. They are called revealed scriptures. Not by just studying the scriptures one can understand the scriptures. Unless and until the Lord reveals the scriptures from within the heart. And that's why it is so important to get the knowledge revealed from the Lord. But it is not that we can force the Lord, that Lord reveals His knowledge to us. Lord very clearly says, Ye yatha mam prapadyate, tam tathaiva bhajamiham. To the degree one surrenders unto me, I reveal myself. So it is a matter of surrenderance. How one surrenders, to that degree, Krishna reveals. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that a devotee may not be very well versed with the scriptures, though there are very, very great Vaishnava scholar acharyas who have given very elaborate commentaries on the shastras. And if one reads them, he has all knowledge. He can face anyone. But even if a disciple is not so much well versed with those scriptures, he has not taken the benefit of his guru and his guru's scholarship and the scholarship of the previous acharyas, still, if he is very sincere and he is doing his services, whatever is told to him, Lord is seeing his surrenderance, and accordingly Lord reveals in his heart, and because of his surrenderance he has that knowledge. And there are many such examples. Lord Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, many a times he would ask his many devotees in the mutt, who would be like gardeners or cooks or doing other menial services, who were not very well educated and they would not read scriptures regularly. But time and again he would just check that what is their understanding, what is their realization. And he would find that their realizations were completely authentic, that of devotees. It shows that they have got the revelation of the knowledge. In fact, like a chatak bird waits when there will be rains in the Swati Nakshatra, the first rains. When the first rain comes, it waits, and when the rain comes, that water only it drinks. It does not drink till that rain water comes. Similarly, a devotee, his honesty is such that he waits Lord to reveal the knowledge from within the heart. He does not depend on his mind and intellect to speculate on the verses, speculate on the truths. He waits. He reads. Sometimes he does not understand and he says, no problem. Lord has told me to read, I'll read. My Guru Maharaj has told me to read, I'll read. I don't understand, no problem. There will be a time when the Lord will reveal. And when the Lord reveals, that will be the time I'll relish the knowledge. And because of this reason, a devotee, though he studies, though he knows the scriptures, but he always is patient and he feels himself unqualified that to say that everything is revealed to me and I am the knower of the truth. Though he knows a lot because of Lord's revealing to him within the heart, he is very, very humble and says, no, 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 Lord, I am still an ignorant fool. Please deliver me. Just now we were singing Damodar Ashtakam, and there Satyavrata Muni is singing, please deliver this poor ignorant fool from the worldly miseries of this material world. So we see that the devotee is not doing the mental and intellectual gymnastic. He is getting the knowledge revealed also by the mercy of the Lord, and he is humble also. He does not claim, because he knows that this is just out of the causeless mercy of the Lord. In fact, this is the difference between a jnani, yogi, karmi, or dhyani, or a devotee. The yogi, jnani, dhyani, karmi, they depend on their own physical, mental, or intellect prowess. And they think that by this power they will get a lot. In fact, they get a lot of advancement. There are people, karmis, who are very, very much powerful. They can work so many times much more than a devotee. There are so many dhyanis, they can meditate on the holy names of the Lord for much longer duration than the devotees will do. There are jnanis who know much, many, many more scriptures than what a devotee may know. But they are all of their own. They don't have the power of their shelter, because they have never taken the shelter. Though the shelter was there, they never put any weightage to that shelter. But a devotee, he says, oh Lord, I am useless, but I take your shelter. And he may study the shastras, he may do the activities of devotional service, he may try to focus his mind on the holy names of the Lord, but at the same time he knows that by my mental power I cannot capture the holy name. By my intellectual prowess I cannot understand the scriptures. By my power of or my expertise I cannot fulfill the mission of my guru in terms of doing various services. It is only by the power of guru, Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. When their power comes, by their empowerment, I can do all these services. And though he does all those services, though he understands the scriptures, though he can very, very effortlessly focus on the holy name of the Lord, but he does not identify himself with the empowerment. He says, this is the empowerment. It is given by the Hari, Guru and Vaishnava. This is theirs. It is their property. It is not mine. And thus, though he does very, very wonderful activities, he never identifies himself with the empowerment, which is a causeless mercy of the Lord. He just thinks that this is for a particular purpose. Once the purpose is served, the empowerment will go away. Like in the case of Arjun, he fought so valiantly, but when the opportunity was gone, the empowerment was also gone. So similarly, a devotee does many, many wonderful activities, but he knows always that this is empowerment by the Lord and it will go away when the service is gone. So I should not identify with this. So he does a lot of activities and he is humble at the same time. But for a yogi, jnani, dhyani, karmi, it is not possible because he is always off his own. But for a devotee, his power is his shelter. His shelter's power is his power. So what is the power of Krishna? What is the power of Guru? What is the power of Vaishnavas? And when a devotee is falling at their feet and always wanting only one position, that is to be a particle of dust at their lotus feet, he gets all the strength, all empowerment which is required for him. And he does his services and at the same time saves himself, keeps himself aloof from identifying himself with the empowerment which came. And thus a devotee lives such a clean life. And because of his disposition, Krishna is so happy. And because of Krishna's being so happy on him, he is always happy. That's why in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, Kami, Shakale Ashant. These yogis, jnanis, dhyanis, they always want this Bhukti or Mukti or Siddhi or Kami. So they are always restless. They are never satisfied, never happy. But the other line says, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama. He does not desire anything. He just wants to be engaged by Lord in his service. To be engaged by Lord in the service of devotees. That's what. He does not want to even become a devotee. He just wants to be a servant of the devotees. And not just servant of the devotees, he rather wants to follow the devotees. Makes himself as simple at the feet of the devotees. And by this disposition, Lord is so satisfied. Devotees are so satisfied with him. Guru is so satisfied with him. And all this satisfaction immediately gets credited in his bank balance of spiritual strength. He is very easily able to overcome the illusory proposals of Maya. And he is very, very happy. Very satisfied. So, a devotee's position is so safe because Lord himself protects him. And in fact, in terms of getting vairagya, for yogi, jnani, dhyani, karmi, they are always in anxiety that, oh, so many distractions are there, so many temptations are there, how I will be maintaining myself in my goal. But a devotee, Krishna shows the power of his protection. Though he puts the devotee in so many awkward and miserable conditions, but he shows, see, I can protect you. And devotee gets the faith on the protection of the Lord. That faith on the protection of the Lord is not there in yogi, jnani, dhyani or karmi. And invariably he tries to protect himself. And that's why he is always in anxiety. But a devotee, he knows that in front of power of Maya, I am insignificant. I can be washed away at any moment. So better I take shelter of the Lord. And Lord, in the second chapter, he says that Nir Yogakshema Bhava Arjuna. O Arjun, do not think of your protection and your maintenance. You just do your duties and do not think of your protection and maintenance. And in the ninth chapter, he says, Yogakshemam Vahamiham. I will carry what you lack and I will give what you have. I will protect what you have. He says, if you constantly engage in my devotional service, I will give what you lack. Why you are in anxiety? And whatever you have, I will protect. So, with it is said, if Lord with his infinitely many hands, if he wants to take away something from us, with our two hands, what we can hold? And if Lord wants to give with his thousands and thousands of hands, unlimited hands, with our two hands, how much we can take? So that is the safe position of a devotee. And that's why a devotee should always try to serve the Lord, his devotees and Guru, and not desire to be depending on his mental, intellectual and physical prowess, which the yogi, jnani and dhyani do, and thus they are always miserable. Today is the day of Deepavali. Deepavali is the day when Lord Ramchandra, after killing Ravan and after 14 years of exile, came back to Ayodhya. And when Lord Ram came back to Ayodhya, the Ayodhya Vasis were so happy, so satisfied, so jubilant that they decorated the whole city of Ayodhya with lamps. And commemorating that day, from last 20 lakh years, this tradition is going on. Last 20 lakh years, every day, on the day of Deepavali, everyone, invariably, they celebrate the occasion of Lord Ram's coming back to Ayodhya. Now, what does it mean for ourselves, in today's context? Our heart is like Ayodhya. But, unfortunately, Lord Ram has left Ayodhya. Why? Because of mantra-like mentality of our impurities of lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy. These anarthas have created such a big mess in the city of Ayodhya, which is right now our heart, that Lord Ram has to go on exile with Mother Sita and Lakshman. And that's why, though we do so many things, we are never satisfied. We always hanker, we always lament, and our condition is pitiable. No matter whatever we do, we end up lamenting or hankering. Why? Because Lord Ram has left the city of Ayodhya. And it is said that when Lord Ram left the city of Ayodhya, Ayodhya was like a haunted place. People were not living only, they were dead. Because their very life and soul was Lord Ram. And for 14 years they lived like practically dead people. But after 14 years, when Lord Ram came back, it was like a fresh life coming. And they had full jubilation. But Lord Ram went for a mission that was killing Ravan, the lust personified. It is said that if we take shelter of Lord, whose name is Madan Mohan. Madan is Kamdev. He is the one who controls lust. And Lord Krishna is so attractive that he attracts even Kamdev, Madan Mohan. And if we take shelter of Madan Mohan, then whatever kam is there in our heart, that will go away. And thus the Ravana-like mentality in us will be killed. And then Lord Ram will come back to this city of Ayodhya. And we will welcome that with this Deepavali. By having the celebrations. Why we light all these lamps? Just to remind ourselves that our heart is supposed to reflect Ayodhya. And Lord Ram is supposed to be welcomed there. So, but before Lord Ram comes, Lord Ram will see whether Ayodhya Vasis are really, really eager to welcome me or not. That's why before, when by Pushpak, all Lord Ram, Lakshman, Sita, and all of so many Varnaras, Sugriva and Hanuman and so many, and Vibhishan and so many other Asuras were also coming, Lord Ram told Hanuman, Hanuman, you go and see very carefully that whether Bharat has any inclination to continue to be a king. If you see even 1%, even a fraction of portion, that he has any desire to continue as a king, I will not return to the kingdom of Ayodhya. I will not return. And Hanuman comes before all of them and goes to Bharat. And he talks to him, and by his various talks and activities and movements, he is completely ascertained that he is so desperate to meet Lord Ram that even one moment looks like a yuga for him. And when Hanumanji is completely fixed and in his understanding, he goes back and says Lord Ram that go as soon as possible. If you do even a moment's delay, he may lose his life. He is so desperate to meet you. So that desperation should be there in the heart. Then Lord Ram will return back to this city of heart. If we have any reservation that I can manage my own, I can rule this city, like Lord Ram told to test whether Bharat has any inclination to rule his own life. If we have any inclination of karma, jnana, dhyana, yoga, Lord will say, okay, you manage your kingdom. But if he sees, no, he has completely given up. He is saying, I am defeated, I cannot help myself. Only Lord Ram, if you come, this haunted city of Ayodhya will be enlivened. When Lord sees that desperation, Lord is very, very merciful. Lord's heart melts. In fact, it is said, Lord's internal potency is so merciful that when he sees that a devotee is helplessly crying out, it goes out of the control of the Lord and goes and helps that devotee. It's called Karuna Shakti. Srimati Radharani, when Sita Mata sees that this devotee is helplessly crying for help and shelter, then she just becomes desperate to help this devotee. And seeing the desperation of the internal potency of the Lord, Lord helps the devotee. And thus, Lord comes back to the city of Ayodhya, the heart of the living entity. Hare Krishna. If you have any question or comments, you can ask. Today is also the day of Damodar Leela, is it not? So, in short, this is the day when Mother Yashoda was very, very much desirous of feeding sweet milk, sweet rice to Lord Krishna. And she was also churning butter for Krishna. Nanda Maharaj had 9 lakh cows, and the milk of all these cows would be fed to 108 very special cows. And then among 108 also, there were some 10 cows who were very, very special cows, who were called Padmagandha cows. And their milk would have very special fragrance. And the milk of only those cows would be fed to Krishna. So Mother Yashoda was making butter out of those milk and was making the sweet rice also out of that milk. And Krishna saw that Mother Yashoda is completely engaged in so many household activities, and he wanted to get attention. So he started approaching to Mother Yashoda. But when Krishna moves, his every walk is dance. So he was like dancing like this, this, this. And very, very lovingly he went to Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda was so attracted seeing the movements of little Bal Gopal that her whole affection came on Krishna. And Krishna fell on the lap of Mother Yashoda and he started drinking milk. And Mother Yashoda was oozing out her affection and Krishna was accepting that affection. Krishna is God. He can unlimitedly go on accepting the affection, and Mother Yashoda is like the mother of the whole universe. She can unlimitedly go on providing that affection. So the milk, it is said by the acharyas, in the spiritual world, even the milk is spiritual and it thinks. So So the milk thought, if this exchange goes on, what's my use? So better I commit suicide. And she, the milk, started coming out of the vessel. But Mother Yashoda is like a devotee, like a guru, who wants to engage everyone in Krishna's service. So she immediately thought of attending to the milk. So she left Krishna aside and started going to the milk. But Krishna became very, very angry. He broke the pot of butter, fed the butter to the monkeys, and Mother Yashoda saw that, and she became very angry, and she took the stick and started chasing Krishna. Krishna was running, and Krishna is very fast, and Mother Yashoda is a little heavy, so for her to follow was difficult. But still, because of Mother Yashoda's love, Krishna allowed himself to be caught by Mother Yashoda. And then she thought of, okay, now I will give you a good lesson. She was showing a stick. And Krishna started crying so bitterly that Mother Yashoda thought, if I have not done anything and he is crying so bitterly, if I do something, he will die. So better not do anything. And then she thought, okay, I should at least bind. So she was about to bind, but every time whatever rope she was using was falling 2 fingers too short. It is said by the acharyas, these 2 fingers are, one is the strenuous endeavor of a devotee, and second is the causeless mercy of the Lord. If a person has these 2 things, then he can bind Krishna by his love. So Mother Yashoda did a lot of strenuous endeavor, and by her sincerity, by her love, she attracted the mercy of the Lord. And that's how ultimately she was able to bind Krishna by her love. And later on, Krishna thought of doing more mischief. So he was bound to a wooden grinding mortar. So he started pulling that mortar and put the mortar between 2 big Yamal Arjun trees and pulled little more, and both big Yamal Arjun trees fell down. And from that, they were actually 2 sons of Kuvera who got delivered. And they came out and they started offering prayers. And in this way, Damodar Leela was done. So this is the day of 2 very big pastimes of the Lord. One is Damodar Leela and one is Lord Ramchandra is coming back to Ayodhya. Hare Krishna. Grantharashmad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.